Rain fell on the somber throngs making their way to Lion's Rest, as if even the sky wept for those who had sacrificed their lives to defeat the Burning Legion. Anduin Rin, King of Stormwind, stood a few steps back from the podium where he soon would be addressing mourners of all the Alliance races. He watched them silently as they arrived, moved to see them, loath to speak to them. He suspected that this service honoring the fallen would be the most difficult he had endured in his relatively short life, not just for the other mourners, but for himself. It would be held in the shadow of his father's empty tomb. Anduin had attended far, far too many ceremonies honoring the casualties of war. As he did each time, as he believed every good leader did, he hoped and prayed that this one would be the last. But it never was. Somehow there was always another enemy. Sometimes the enemy was new, a group springing up seemingly out of nowhere, or something ancient and long chained or buried, supposedly neutralized, rising after eons of silence to terrorize and destroy innocence. Other times the enemy was bleakly familiar, but no less a threat for the intimacy of the knowledge. How had his father met those challenges time after time, Anduin wondered. How had his grandfather? Now was a time of relative quiet, but the next enemy, the next challenge, doubtless would arrive all too soon. It had not been all that long since Varian Rin's death, but for the great man's son, it felt like a lifetime. Varian had fallen in the first real push of this latest war against the Legion, apparently slain as much by betrayal from a supposed ally, Sylvanas Windrunner, as by the monstrous fell-fueled creatures vomited forth from the twisting nether. Another account from someone Anduin trusted contested that version, suggesting that Sylvanas had had no other choice. Anduin was not sure what to believe. Thoughts of the cunning and treacherous leader of the Horde made Anduin angry, as they always did. And as always, he called on the Holy Light for calmness. It did not serve to harbor hatred in his heart, even for such a deserving enemy. And it would not bring back his father. Anduin took comfort in knowing that the legendary warrior had died fighting and that his sacrifice had saved many lives. And in that fraction of a second, Prince Anduin Rin had become king. In many ways, Anduin had been preparing for this position all his life. Even so, he was keenly aware that in other very important ways, he hadn't truly been ready. Maybe still wasn't. His father had loomed so large, not just in the eyes of his youthful son, but in the eyes of Varian's people, even in the eyes of his enemies. Dubbed Logosh, or Ghost Wolf, for his ferocity in battle, Varian had been more than a powerful warrior superbly skilled at combat. He had been an extraordinary leader. In the first few weeks after his father's shocking death, Anduin had done his best to comfort a grieving, stunned populace reeling from the loss, while denying himself a proper chance to mourn. They grieved for the wolf. Anduin grieved for the man. And when he lay awake at night, unable to sleep, he would wonder just how many demons in the end it had taken to murder King Varian Rin. Once he had voiced this thought to Ghen Greymane, king of the fallen realm of Gilneas, who had stepped in to counsel the fledgling monarch. The old man had smiled, even though sorrow haunted his eyes.
All I can tell you, my boy, is that before they got to your father, he had single-handedly killed the largest fell reaver I ever saw in order to save an airship full of retreating soldiers. I know for certain that Varian Rin made the Legion pay dearly for taking him.
Anduin did not doubt that. It wasn't enough, but it had to be. Although there were plenty of armed guards in attendance, Anduin had put on no armor on this day when the dead were remembered. He was dressed in a white silk shirt, lambskin gloves, dark blue breeches, and a heavy formal coat trimmed in gold. His only weapon was an instrument of peace as much as war, the mace Fearbreaker, which he wore at his side. When he had gifted the young prince with it, the former dwarf king, Magni Bronzebeard, had said that Fearbreaker was a weapon that had known the taste of blood in some hands and had stanched blood in others. Anduin wanted to meet and thank as many as he could among the bereaved today. He wished he could console everyone, but the cold truth was that such a thing was impossible. He took comfort in the certainty that the light shone upon them all, even a tired young king. He lifted his face, knowing the sun was behind the clouds, and letting the gentle drops fall like a benediction. He recalled that it also had rained a few years ago, during a similar ceremony honoring those who had made the final, greatest sacrifice in the campaign to halt the mighty Lich King. Two whom Anduin loved had been in attendance then, who were not here today. One, of course, was his father. The second was the woman he had fondly called Aunt Jaina, Lady Jaina Proudmoore. Once the Lady of Theramor and the Prince of Stormwind had been in agreement regarding the desire for peace between the Alliance and the Horde. And once there had been a Theramor. But Jaina's city had been destroyed by the Horde in the most horrific manner possible, and its bereft lady had never been able to ease the pain of that terrible moment fully. Anduin had watched her try repeatedly, only to have some fresh torment re-injure her wounded heart. Finally, unable to bear the thought of working alongside the Horde even against so dread a foe as the Demonic Legion, Jaina had walked out on the Kirin Tor, which she led, on the blue dragon Calicos, whom she loved, and on Anduin, whom she had inspired his whole life. "May I?" The voice was warm and kind, as was the woman who asked the question. Anduin smiled down at High Priestess Lorena. She was asking if he wished her blessing. He nodded and inclined his head and felt the tightness in his chest ease and his soul settle. He then stood respectfully to the side while she spoke to the crowd, awaiting his own turn.